I'm going to make this a two-part question. Do people who played the game view postseason success differently than those of us who didn't play the game, Cliff? In other words, do we tend to put too much emphasis on what a guy does in the postseason at the expense of what a guy does in the regular season?
I think we do. I really do. I think when you look at what a guy's done during the regular season, it's, for me, it's why we're in the postseason. Now, the emphasis put on the postseason, of course, is you're so close, you can taste it, that I need you. I need you so badly that, you know what, if you don't get it done, then, you know, here come the scrutiny. Here come, well, you're not a big game pitcher. Here come all the things that, you know, just in my opinion, is unfair. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that a guy that goes out there doesn't need to prove that he's a good pitcher by what he does in the postseason. The postseason is pressure. It's way more pressure than game 63 of the regular season, game 62. So when you get to the postseason, it's like, well, you look at David's, you know, history, it tells you that he's not gotten breaks. He's ran into some situations where guys have put, you know, some a bats together against him. But you also got to look at the fellas, in my opinion, as don't you think that these hitters put a lot of time and emphasis on what this guy does as an eighth? I know I would as a hitter. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to prepare for, you know, Marco Estrada the same way I prepare for David Price. Even though Marco was great, I mean, he kept their hopes alive. It's just a different preparation for a guy like, you know, a 3-4 guy as opposed to David Price. I have to know all these tendencies because I'm going to get one opportunity to capitalize. And if I don't, it's going to be a long day for me.
Cliff, you played in some small parks. You played in some big parks. Kauffman Stadium plays really big. We know the Blue Jays, when they're at the Rogers Center, they are just – it's a dynamic line-to-line, inside the ball, right-handed, hitting balls in the second deck. Kauffman Stadium, you can't do that. How does that play into a 1-9 team when they're going to a stadium like that? Plus the weather, it's going to be windier. It's going to be maybe raining. And obviously the pressure of game six. What I'm saying is, do they need to take a different approach in game six in Kauffman Stadium than they did in game five at Rogers Center?
I think you would like to hope that they can do it. They have a team that's more suited now with Rivera in there and Goins in there. You can move them, you know, Gibby can put some different things on. You don't change necessarily the big boys' approach. I think, you know, you let them be. But as far as being able to play for that one run early and sort of allow your pitchers to go out there and settle, I think that's huge. I really do. Y'all think one of you guys alluded to it as I was coming on, to scoring early and sort of neutralizing from David Price's standpoint, the righties. Everything is magnified tonight, especially on Toronto's side. Pressure's on. We know you lose, go home. But to your point about the stadium, you know what the Kansas City Royals do. They don't go for the fences. They play base to base. They steal some bags. They put guys in motion a little bit. They try to mess with your your mojo, whatever your MO is. They try to mess that up, and they will base hit you to death. On the Toronto side, we know what they're about. Led the world in homers. We get it, but sometimes you have to take what you can get, and I think that's why they have to play tonight. You know, yes, you want the 3-run homer, but if I need 3 hits to score a couple runs, let me get the 3 hits, guys moving a little bit, get some guys in motion, because you have to put pressure on Kansas City to beat them. You can't sit back in the cut and hope that you can get a few runs on the board by hitting a long ball. It's not going to happen in that ballpark.
Cliff, it seems in this series that we have seen a very generous strike zone, especially to the outside of the hitters. And it's been pretty consistent for the most part. And when I say consistent, I mean it seems that through 5 games, all the umpires have pretty much given everybody that pitch, you know, well, quite frankly, using the pitch tracker, they looked like balls. But is that easy or difficult for a hitter? You know, everybody likes a consistent strike zone. I get that. Everybody likes to know what is going to be a strike.
Right.
But when it's just outside the zone a bit, it does that make it less easy? Is it less helpful for a hitter to know that?
Well, I think for me it's horrific as a hitter when you see the strike zone moving all over the place. Mm-hmm. To your point, you want, of course, consistency. But when I have to worry about, you know, that ball, you know, a two-seamer coming back over the dish,
right,
as you might see from your Donald tonight, I don't know which one is going to be called. Now, it's one of those things, like, I feel like umpires feel sometimes, and this is a pressure situation for them as well, you know, that if they miss something, they have to give it to you the next time. Well, that messes you up as a hitter.
Sure.
Because now I'm on the fence of, what you know, with two strikes, now I'm fouling off balls that could potentially be, you know, a ball, and sort of putting the pressure on the pitcher again. So you have to look at every pitch. And I would like, I don't know who's home plate umpire tonight, but I would just think that for the most part, let's just be consistent with the outer half to call on the strikes that are on the dish, because you don't want to have one strike called here and then the next one not called and then one strike called here, because while you say, yeah, you're going to miss some calls throughout the game, guess what? For a hitter, it's absolutely horrific, because it's going to come in that point in the game, a big situation, and you need the consistency that you've had throughout the game in that crucial point. And if it's not there, boy, that's the last thing you want. You know, in a win or go home type of game, is the umpires playing a big role from a call, you know, from a ball strike situation.
Yeah, I mean, I've had guys say that, you know, don't give me the makeup call. Let me know some other way. You know, hey, man, I missed that or something like that. Let me know another way as opposed to the makeup call, because I don't want the makeup call to come two at bats later. You know, when I don't want that.
With nobody on?
Yeah.
Yeah, with nobody on, you call a bad one, okay, it happens, I get it. But if you got, you know, second and third, one out, and now I'm thinking, now I have to think about if I get the two strikes, you know, I mean, it's so much, you see where the thought process goes, as opposed to seeing that little white baseball,
mm-hmm,
and trying to put it in play. I'm thinking how I got to protect the outer half because blue might call me out on this one. It's just, let's alleviate all that. And stick with one consistent zone. Yeah, there's been some missed calls and some tight situations, too. You're looking back on these calls going, woof. I mean, if I was Kansas City the other night, I would have been a little ticked off at some of the calls that weren't called against, mm-hmm, Blue Jays hitters.
Mm-hmm.
That simple.
Cliff, what are you seeing differently from Troy Tulowitzki? He's had some big hits. The biggest thing I see, I'm not sure that it is, but to me, he looks healthy. What are you seeing?
Yeah, the health is most important, man. I can definitely vouch for that. Being that I was hurt pretty much my whole freaking career, when I was healthy, I felt like I can go out there and you couldn't get me out. He's in that zone. I think when you look at that bats he didn't get, you know, getting his feet up under him, seeing the ball better. We saw the swings early in the postseason. You're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, like, you know, in Texas, before he hit that homer, you was like, yeah, you know. And Gibby was moving him down, trying to protect him from himself.
Right.
You know, moving him down in the order. Now he's back to feeling like you throw him something that he can hit, and he'll crush it. So he's a big part of them in sort of having that long lineup through. He's a big part right now. Of course, I mean, what, he had 11 RBIs? That's not easy to do in the postseason. You got to work for that. So his confidence is definitely coming back.
You know, Cliff, one of your former teams is in the World Series, the New York Mets. I wanted to ask you about that because you do spend a lot of time in New York. I look at that series. We talk a lot. Anytime you talk about the Mets, you talk about young pitching, young starting pitching. It's great. I get that. But Daniel Murphy and Curtis Granderson had two of the better series we've seen by hitters, gosh, in the past 3 or 4 years of the postseason. I think you really have to give the Mets a little more credit than just, hey, they're a bunch of good young arms, don't you?
Yeah, man. You know, the biggest thing going for the Mets right now is they hit the perfect. I mean, you couldn't ask for a complete package than what the Mets have right now. The only thing that's going to probably hurt them, and I don't know if it's the cliche or whatever you want to call it, of, you know, the 6 days off, man. Yeah, you want to keep playing because these guys are hot. But, gosh, dog, if you have a guy like Curtis Granderson getting on early in the game, getting everything started, scoring the run in the first inning every freaking game, guess what? It's going to be hard for you to beat them. I mean, their confidence is on another level. when you look at the rotation, how Terry Collins had it set going to the World Series, it's fire after fire to go along with an offense that is just clicking at the right time. Cespedes, yeah, he has a little bad shoulder. But the whole offense as a whole, unsung hero and Murph, and then Granderson getting on base consistently at the top of the order, being a table setter, it just makes for everybody else's job that simple. Like, you know what? I don't need the big hit all the time. We have a nice commanding lead. We getting a run early. When you walk into that locker room, I'm guaranteeing you the flow and the excitement and everything about putting a W in that win column is pretty high.
Okay, Cliff, put you on the spot a little bit. We see a game seven, and who wins the game seven?
Oh, man. You know, I believe this, real seriously. Toronto wins this game tonight. It's so much pressure on Kansas City letting them back into this thing that Toronto wins that thing and goes to the World Series. That's how I look at it. I thought Kansas City was going to put them away the other night in Toronto. I said it because I just felt like it was so much pressure on the Jays to go out there with Marco Estrada going against a team that absolutely destroys his type of pitching, which I think he was masterful the other night. His changeup was off the charts. Unbelievably good. It was outpitched. But you let the Jays back in this thing. And now if they come in there and win and Kaufman stay in tonight, I say the Jays win game seven. It's just a gut feel.